cherry and my dog for dog for and I'm a lips on dog for dog for and I'm a fever on dog for dog for now my hips on dog for dog for you fully carry I'm dog for dog for next I said I'm dog for dog for then feel your I'm dog for dog for you're getting to dog for dog for. The micro fast nice, bigger my side team, better but fast nice. Better be up in the scene, one of the nice styles. Fool once, twice, shall I my task guys. Shall I miss me, no, be in the bottle. My gang ain't ever one, it's double the trouble. She got myself food, a snap or ruffle. And if you wanna get crushed, she a cop or ruffle. Attack, once again, the micro fast nice. Bigger my side team, better but fast nice. Better be up in the place, one of the nice styles. Fool once, twice, shall I my task guys. Susan is me, no, be in the bottle. My gang ain't ever one. It's double the trouble. Chiga my job full. A couple rough. It takes wonders wonky. Funny cherry. And my dog for dog for. And I'm a lips on dog for dog for. And I'm a fever on dog for dog for. Now my hips on dog for dog for. You fully got it. I'm dog for dog for. Next I said I'm dog for dog for. Then feel I'm dog for dog for. You're getting to be dog for dog for. I'm winning bobo, she bobo. Fit in front dog, she wants to go to the long while in the yo. We beg a margin of shy, a call more. It's a choice to the corn, then more. Stokes in that one day, two.
Good evening, and welcome to Bread and Roses, a weekly feminist news and public affairs program. I am Jennifer Lavender, your host and the Portland Radical Women organizer. Radical Women is a socialist feminist organization dedicated to training women for leading revolutionary movements. Check us out at www.radicalwomen.org. Tonight I will be talking with Deborah O'Gara, an Alaskan native, Tlingit, lesbian, and lawyer for a New York City domestic violence organization. If you're interested in keeping a vibrant feminist voice on the air, you can join the Bread and Roses Collective by calling Chris DeMaria at 503-777-2301. And do stay tuned for the second half of our show, where Crystal Lady will discuss Code Pink's march in D.C., Washington, D.C., on Mother's Day. And that is at 6:30. Some local announcements that you may be interested in. The Freedom Socialist newspaper subscription drive kickoff. Okay, let me start that again. The Freedom Socialist newspaper subscription drive kickoff is tomorrow, Saturday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. It's a Rebels Night Out, and it's happening at the Bread and Roses Center, 819 North Killingsworth in Portland. There will be food, dancing, conversation, and no host bar. And you can come out and help kick off this important night to support a very important newspaper, The Voice of Revolutionary Feminism. And you can call 503-240-4462 for more information, or show up at 8 p.m. at the Bread and Roses Center, 819 North Killingsworth. And also, Radical Women is conducting clinic defense as a way to be a pro-choice presence outside of Lovejoy Surge Center on June 10th. That's Saturday, June 10th, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And we will all be wearing white T-shirts so that patients will know that we are the pro-choice presence outside of the clinic, and we will have a very upbeat and positive picket line at the corner of Northwest Lovejoy and 25th. And if you want more information on that, you can contact Emma at 503-240-4462. And then Radical Women's monthly meeting, which is a political meeting, is on June 14th at 6 p.m. at the Bread and Roses Center, 819 North Killingsworth. And you can call again, 503-240-4462. I am Jennifer Lavender and your host, and you are listening to Bread and Roses, and we are a weekly news and public affairs program with a feminist tilt. Our guest tonight is Deborah O'Gara. She is an Alaskan native Tlingit lesbian and lawyer for a New York City domestic violence organization. Deborah is also a contributor to the Freedom Socialist, the only socialist feminist newspaper in the United States. Her most recent contribution is entitled Gays of Color, Putting the Motion in the Movement. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking some time out of New York City life tonight.
No problem. Happy to do it.
So, Deborah, you write for the Freedom Socialist, which I have given our listeners a little introduction to. Can you tell us a little bit more about this newspaper?
Sure. Well, like you said in your introduction, the newspaper is a socialist feminist newspaper, but we're a little bit more than that. We cover news of all the different movements, labor, anti-war, gay, civil rights. The issue that's just came out this week features quite a bit on what's happening in the world, the fight that immigrants are waging right now, as well as the piece that you mentioned on gays of color putting the motion in the movement, which I wrote. There's also theoretical pieces. I think the main piece in this current issue is the political resolution that came out of our 40th, the Freedom Socialist Party's 40th convention. And we also have book reviews and movie reviews. So it's a paper that's got a little bit of something for everybody. Whether it be local or national or international news that you're looking for, or what book you want to read for the next for this summer, and as you said, the kickoff for a subscription drive is happening this week as well. And if anybody out there in your amongst your listeners are thinking about subscribing, really now is the time to do it, because you can get a special price of just $6 for 1 year, or 4 years for just $20, and have it mailed right to your door. So if anybody's interested in subscribing, they can go straight to the website at www.socialism.com and subscribe right online.
What was that address again?
Socialism.com.
Okay.
And that brings you right to the Freedom Socialist newspaper. You can do research about a number of things. There's archives as well as subscription information.
And, Deborah, who writes this newspaper?
It's the newspaper for the Freedom Socialist Party, which is a socialist feminist Trotskyist party. We've got branches in throughout the United States, as well as Australia, Melbourne, Australia.
And El Salvador, right?
And El Salvador.
And these are people who are involved in the different movements they're writing about. Is that true?
Certainly. That's correct. For instance, the front cover of the current issue is on immigration. For a World Without Borders, it's written by Eduardo Zapata, who's right there in Portland, where you are,
mm-hmm.
Who's been involved with the immigration rights movement, not just there in the Northwest, but he also went down to Los Angeles to participate in kicking out the right-winger vigilantes who were trying to organize down there on the Mexican border.
Mm-hmm. The Minutemen?
The Minutemen, that was the name of them.
Hey.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So
Radical Women also has a column in this newspaper, and what's so unique about this paper is it covers a lot of the feminist issues that a lot of the left newspapers don't do, mm-hmm. including giving space for Radical Women, a socialist feminist organization, also to write on different things that Radical Women is involved with. So there's an excellent, excellent article by Linda Averill, who ran for city council in Seattle, on abortion rights and the whole how the Bush administration is really ratcheting up the heat on the whole abortion issue and reproductive rights for women.
Yeah, this particular, I have a copy of the newspaper in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and this particular issue is packed. And in addition to what you've already said, there is Todd Jordan, who works at a Delphi plant in Kokomo, Indiana, and is the leader, or is a leader, in Soldiers of Solidarity, a rank and file group with the UAW opposing concessions, because they are under attack at Delphi. As a lot of people may know, they are looking to close down a lot of plants and get rid of a lot of jobs.
Oh, yes.
So it really is got a whole range of different issues and activists, authors, which is refreshing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so, and what is a subscription drive for people who may not be familiar with what that means?
Well, it's a limited period of time. For the next month, we are reaching out to folks who we think would be interested in getting this newspaper, you know, regularly. We come out every 2 months, so 6 issues per year, and the 1 year subscription is only $6, so that's $1 per issue mailed right to your door. So that doesn't even cover our publication costs. So we're more interested actually in getting the information that's in the newspaper out. The subscription drive is only for a limited period of time. It only goes until July 15th. So you have approximately 6 weeks. So it's a very short period of time to take advantage of the discounted rates. And really it's our subscribers who help to maintain our readers base and keep money in our coffers so that we can actually keep on publishing the newspaper and keep it getting mailed out. So we get a lot more support and longevity from our subscriber base, and that's what we're that's what the goal of the subscription drive is to increase our subscription base.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I encourage your listeners to take the advantage, because the this is a couple of dollars off of the regular subscription price, and the more years that you subscribe for, the more you can save.
And how do they do that again?
Just go to the website at socialism.com, and there'll be then go to the Freedom Socialist button, and there'll be subscription places there. Or I don't have your address, the address of the headquarters there in Portland, but I'm sure that they could go to the headquarters there in Portland and subscribe in person as well if you don't have access to the web.
Yeah, and that would be 819 North Killingsworth, Portland, Oregon. Call 503-240-4462. So this is the newspaper that you wrote a very interesting article for. Just to remind listeners, I'm speaking with Deborah O'Gara, an Alaskan Native Tlingit lesbian and lawyer for a New York City domestic violence organization, and she wrote an article in the Freedom Socialist, the newspaper we've been discussing, called Gays of Color, Putting the Motion in the Movement. And your article, Deborah, talks about the fight of two courageous women of the Cherokee tribe, Kathy Reynolds and Dawn McKinley. And it was after Dawn was prohibited from helping Kathy in a health crisis that the two women decided to seek a way to prevent this from happening again. Kathy had a serious back injury, and at the hospital, Dawn was prevented from being with her, and because she wasn't a family member, and her relationship basically wasn't recognized. So what happened next? What did they do?
Yeah, well, you know, the situation that these two women were found in happens all the time. Also with unmarried couples as well, but really with lesbian and gay couples. And, I mean, not only was it scary for both of them, but, you know, it was Dawn, who had all the health information, and the only folks that were allowed in to see Kathy was her family, who knew nothing about her current health situation whatsoever. So it was it was an incredible, much more scarier than it needed to be for both of them. But what happened after that is they soon discovered that they're both members of the Cherokee tribe. They live on and have made their home on the Cherokee reservation. And they started researching around and discovered that there was no provision in the Cherokee tribal law that mandated that marriage be between a man and a woman. So once they discovered that, they immediately went down and applied for a marriage license, and then went to the went to somebody who would marry them, and proceeded to go through the ceremony. Almost immediately, the lawyer for the tribe, who actually represents the tribe in a lot of different matters, filed suit in tribal court, asking the tribal court to not recognize the marriage. The tribal court did the right thing and said that the lawyer for the tribe had no standing, and because he couldn't show how he or the tribe was being harmed by the recognition of their marriage. So that was a great victory.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe appealed that decision, and the appeals court, again, we're still on the Cherokee reservation, so the appeals court for the Cherokee Nation upheld that decision and made it even stronger. Mm-hmm. As far as a legal precedent, made it much stronger. Being undeterred, about four or five members of the elected tribal council then in turn filed the same lawsuit, basically, and charging that the marriage should not be recognized. And the judge at the tribal court level made the same decision. And that wasn't appealed. So you would think that would be now the end of the issue, and they could go on their merry way and be legally married. But what's happened is they're now facing a third legal challenge again in the Cherokee Tribal Court. And the court clerk, whose office originally issued the marriage license, is now suing, claiming that the recognition or the legitimizing of this marriage will tarnish the reputation of the court clerk's office and possibly hold the court clerk liable for, it doesn't really say what, but so, and that's the third challenge that they're facing. I just talked with Kathy a couple of days ago, and they are scheduled for a hearing, but a trial hasn't been set yet. So that's legally where they're at now.
Maybe it's not a clear thing, but the third challenge is somehow the court clerk will be impacted by their marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she's claiming that the recognition of this marriage puts her office in possibly being held liable for having issued the original license. It's really very vague and holds even less water than the first two challenges,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so this is all happening in Oklahoma, right?
That's correct.
So what is the significance of this victory, essentially? I mean, it's still a victory until they take it away.
yes, that's correct.
What is the significance of this victory to the gay, lesbian, bi, trans movement right now, where same-sex marriage is really the number one issue?
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, and the reason why I wanted to write about these two courageous women is that the significance is that they're winning. They're winning not just in court, but they're actually winning in changing attitudes of their friends, of their family, and of their neighbors, including folks who would have never thought that gays or lesbians would be living, as their neighbors. And it's really a one-on-one. Their court battle is a huge victory and something that we can look to for precedent, even though the precedent is limited only to the Cherokee Reservation. but the arguments can then be passed, you know, be raised in other court battles. But the fact that they are becoming role models and leaders by standing up where one would think that there would be no support and actually finding support is a huge victory. You have to remember that Oklahoma is sparsely populated, and they are two women, very young women also, who are living in a very rural area, very far from any big town. Tulsa, Oklahoma is actually almost an hour away from where they live, and that's the nearest big town, and it's actually not that big of a town.
I want to remind listeners that you are listening to an interview with Deborah O'Gara, an Alaskan native Tlingit lesbian and lawyer for a New York City domestic violence organization, and she is giving us the story that she wrote in the Freedom Socialist. And her article is entitled Gays of Color, Putting the Motion in the Movement. And you can get this newspaper online at www.socialism.com. So this issue of GLBT rights, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, sorry, I don't want to use acronyms that nobody knows, is very important, especially in communities of color. I was recently watching Mind of Mencia, which is this cable, I think, Comedy Central stand-up comedian, and I wanted to see his a Latino, and I wanted to see what he had to say about immigrant rights. And there was, to my surprise, a very lengthy segment where he pits gay and lesbian marriage, same-sex marriage, against civil rights for blacks. And he goes out on the street and actively whips up the ire of black interviewees against the GLBT community. And what I really liked in, you know, after seeing that and being really frustrated by that, because it's pitting people against each other rather than bringing them together, was how in your article you talked about the longstanding support for gay, lesbian, bi, trans rights by Al Sharpton and Julian Bond, Julian Bond being the head of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP. Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit more about why you put that in the article? Why is it significant that these black leaders are lending this support to the GLBT community?
Well, for a couple of different reasons. That, I mean, they're both recognized leaders in the black community, and nationally and known internationally. And African Americans in this country are the backbone of the labor movement and most of our movements for social change. And, of course, Bush and his cronies know this. And what they have been doing for the last couple of years has been dumping millions of dollars into the black churches as part of his campaign to promote the stereotypical nuclear family and abstinence programs. And these programs are used to undercut not only gay and lesbian families, but also any other alternative families, including communal families or families that have multi-generations living under the same household, and et cetera. But what they've been doing is dumping these millions of dollars into the black churches, and in exchange, asking that the black churches then take a position against the gay or lesbian lifestyle or partnerships or family arrangements. And some have been succumbing to that. It's a trade-off. We see that all the time with the when we're dealing with women's rights on the whole reproductive mm-hmm. rights issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what's significant is that some significant black leaders like Al Sharpton and Julian Bond have been speaking out against that. And that's important so that we can fight the stereotype that people of color communities are really against gays mm-hmm. and, and this is just only happen in middle class white America when it's really not. There's actually been widespread support for gay marriage, and to really emphasize that and bring that out into the open would burst the bubble of the stereotype and put a big dent, burst the bubble of the stereotype that gays of color don't exist, mm-hmm. and that black communities are homophobic, but it would also put a big dent in Bush's bigoted agenda.
Right.
And that's why I mentioned those two in particular, as well as a few others.
You can definitely tell us who else. Those were the two I latched on to, but one of the thoughts I want to raise is, how does this support from the black leadership or the community of the black community's leadership support for same-sex impact the Native American community? And, you know, is there some direct impact that you saw through your research for this article?
Well, I think the connection is, and if we can draw as many connections between our different movements and our different struggles, the more powerful we can be. If we can bring into the struggle for civil rights that the black movement has been in the lead of, it strengthens that movement, and it strengthens the gay movement as well, because it brings our movements together then.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps for those of us who are of color and gay, and a woman, it helps us to bring our movements. We don't have to choose which issue
right.
we're gonna deal with. And those connections are important. And some of Bush's agenda and the capitalist agenda is to do everything in their power to keep us separated.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons for the what I call blood money.
So, Deborah, is there a way that listeners could help or get involved with maybe this particular fight that Kathy and Dawn are fighting, or in general to work on same-sex marriage support?
Yeah, some of the best ways. I'm a little familiar with KBOO Radio, and I know that a lot of your listeners are progressive and involved in some kind of political movement or issues. And one of the best ways to help with the whole, not just gay marriage and same-sex marriage issue, but the equal rights for gays, lesbians, and trans people in general, is for all people, whether you're gay or not, to speak up in mm-hmm. support of gays to have the same rights as everyone else, whether it be at your job or at school and your church or another place of worship, and in the movements that you're active in, so that we can bring those connections together. And if you want more information, I would encourage you to visit the website at www.socialism.com, because there we have a lot of statements that have been put up, speeches, articles, and statements that we've written about the gay marriage issue and how it is connected to the other movements. In particular, right now, the immigration rights movement, because it's gay immigrants that are being targeted so specifically
mm-hmm.
By the government today. They're being the hardest hit.
Deborah, thank you so much for calling or for being on the show tonight and letting us call you and get you on the air. And I really appreciate your article, and I encourage listeners to do check out www.socialism.com, where you can either read the article now, or you can read it really soon, or you could subscribe to the newspaper that Deborah wrote this article for, which is the Freedom Socialist. And hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you very much, Jen.
Okay, have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Bread and Roses. This is KBOO 90.7 FM. I am Jennifer Lavender, Portland Radical Women Organizer. If you're interested in learning more about Radical Women, call 503-240-4462. And Bread and Roses is a feminist news and public affairs program on every week from 6 to 7 p.m. on Fridays. And our guest tonight was Deborah O'Gara, an Alaskan Tlingit lesbian and lawyer for a New York City domestic violence organization. Stay tuned for the second half of Bread and Roses, where Crystal shares stories and experiences from the Mother's Day White House vigil. And thanks to Molly and Leanne for their wonderful engineering in the air room. And we'll probably have a short music break here between the two. Thanks, and tune in again next week.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you spun as wrong for freedom or march that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. You law-abiding citizens, listen to this song. Laws were made by people, and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote, and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks with guts defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I wanna shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law's supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down.
Hi, I'm Crystal, and I'm your host for the second part of this Bread and Roses program tonight. And, wow, I'm going to just start out talking. I guess I'll make a confession first. I had a lot of stuff written out here that I was going to say, and it's not with me, so I'm going to have to try to remember. But I've also got some good recordings from the Code Pink Washington Mother's Day Vigil. It was a fantastic experience for me. I've never been to Washington, D.C. for a political action before, and it was wonderful. And that is not to say that we don't have the greatest marches and rallies and actions right here in Portland, and I've taken part in a lot of them over the years, but it was a special thing to go there. I took my little recorder, and some of it worked and some of it didn't, but we do have some excerpts from things that happened there that we'll play tonight. I gotta first say thanks to so many wonderful people here at KBOO. Emily was terrific, and so was Spencer, and so was Robbia and Lisa, and people who had more expertise than me, which is very easy to do, with electronics, and helped me edit the words that you're going to hear tonight from other people. So let's see. Let's start with track one right now and play a little of that, please.
What is civil disobedience? What? People's resistance? Peaceful? Okay, breaking an unjust or immoral law. Give me an example.
The city, Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks. the sit-ins at the lunch counters. Those are classic. Civil disobedience actions. What do we do here? We do direct action. I believe firmly that the law that says people can't sit in the street is a good law.
Okay, that's an excerpt from one of the workshops that they had there. There were so many activities over this period. It was a 24-hour vigil beginning, I think, 3 p.m. Saturday evening and going overnight till 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon of Mother's Day. And, of course, things always start earlier and go longer. But that was the time that we had. And that was one of the workshops that I thought was pretty interesting. And I don't know if Katie was in that workshop or not, and I'll talk about her later. But she knows some things about civil disobedience. Well, so, you know, I think I'm gonna go back up a little bit and say how Marty and I got to be there. Marty'd never been to Washington, D.C., and I had, but as I say, not to something like this. And so I took my recorder, she took the camera and took some good pictures, and we set off and got there and... got off at the wrong metro stop, so we had a lot of walking to do, but that gave us a chance to see a lot of statues of great people, all of them long dead, war memorials, lots of rectangular buildings where government takes place, and government in various ways. And I began to feel what I call this oppressive sense of power, sort of power congealed around people who no longer represent what I think of as what should be happening in Washington, which I think of as the seat of democracy. I can get a little patriotic about this. And, you know, it doesn't feel good there. What I'm talking is sort of an esoteric thing. I think you either feel it or you don't feel it, and most of us feel it but don't know what to make of it. But It's not comfortable. So, but we walked around and walked around and saw the White House and realized we were on the wrong side of it. And finally we found the Code Pink people in Lafayette Square. And that's just right across the street from the backyard of the residence. And so that's where the action was. That's where Code Pink people had created a little stage. And there are wonderful musicians there and wonderful speakers, and I'll get into that a little bit later, too. Right now, I think, let me ask Molly to play a couple of things, track 2 and 3. They're just little short pieces, but the first person you'll hear, I call in my mind the flag lady, because she was carrying a beautiful flag. Peace flag with a dove and a very nice design. And so I talked to her, and then I asked another lady who was older and kind of quietly there but was willing to talk to me. So those are the two we'll hear right now.
You just got back from a march around the White House.
Yes, and we also did an aerial photo shoot.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what brought you all the way out here to D.C. from...
Well, I have two boys that are 22 and 19, and the threat of another war and the likely possibility of a draft would call them up. And I'm so against the war in Iraq. I was against it the day it started, and I'm tired of being lied to, and I'm tired of being pushed around by this government that's in office now, and I think it's about time something was done. And I thought, you know, if nothing else, I can show up, and I can be one of the many that shows up for this, and I feel it's important. So that's why I flew out.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
Okay, is it on? It's not playing, but okay. So, can people hear me now? All right. Well, glitches happen. It was one of the many wonderful people who were there. I think we'll just go on to talk about our local Shiro, Katie Heald. And Katie was there, and I got to talk to her a little bit. She was when I saw her, she was dancing around in one of the Code Pink's famous pink slips. And she was having a good time and very excited. And so I got a little bit of an interview with her. And as many of you listeners probably know, the next day, Katie was arrested while trying to deliver a message to Donald Rumsfeld. She was arrested with two other Code Pinkers, and she's awaiting trial now. She's continuing to work for Code Pink in D.C. while she's there, and this was the lighthearted side of her when I talked to her during the vigil.
I found a sister Oregonian here, and it is. This is Katie. I'm with Code Pink Portland, and I'm our representative out here in D.C. this weekend.
That's great, and I saw you dancing around.
Yeah, it's a wonderful song called Code Pink. It goes, they say code war, we say code pink. So check out, it's on the Code Pink website. You can get a CD. On. It's a brilliant song.
Terrific. I hear you stayed overnight.
Yes, I did. I'm going on hour, 30 right now. No sleep, so I'm a little crazy.
Yeah, but I'm so glad to see you here.
Yeah. Just stand up for peace, please. We need to make this stop, and we need all the mothers and daughters and sisters and grandmothers to join together and stop these wars, because the women are who are going to make it happen. So come out and join Code Pink Portland, codepinkportland.org, and there's a Vancouver chapter as well, and we can get you in touch with them. So we'll see you out in the streets.
All right.
Oh, yes, that was wonderful. Some of the other terrific, everybody was wearing pink. They're all different colors and genders and other ways that we have of describing people. But she was and still is just a great person. I think I just wanted to say a little bit about Cindy Sheehan. She was kind enough to give me an interview, and that didn't even make it to the editing. It got lost in wherever things get lost. But, I was so struck with her. My impression, she's a gentle, raw-boned Madonna who speaks peace very gently. I think she's the real thing, and it was a pleasure to be around her. She led, well, several things, but one of the marches she led with an Iraqi woman, and the rest of us followed, and everyone carried long-stemmed roses, and each rose had on the bottom of it the name of someone who died since the war in Iraq began there. And we took them over across the street and left them at the fence of the resident's home. So that was very moving also. I think now we should probably move on to one of the other really neat ladies I met there. She had a lot to say, and she was very eloquent, and she made some of the most interesting looking peace buttons I've ever seen. So let's hear from her.
Never once, not once, ever had the occasion to wear any kind of a gown.
You know, I'm the same way.
And it looks like I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to my grave without having ever worn a gown.
But will you wear your buttons?
But I'll wear my buttons.
I'm talking with...
My name is Ruth Klein, but I'm call myself the Button Buddha.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your beautiful display of buttons here. I'm for separation of church and hate, and... what's another great one here?
Oh, this is Sartre. This is great. When the rich make poor war, it's the poor that die.
Sartre, yes.
Yeah.
And Voltaire there?
Voltaire, if we believe absurdities, we shall commit atrocities. Isn't it amazing? I mean,
it's amazing.
And sad that this is ancient knowledge and we still haven't gotten it.
Yeah, and we still don't have it. But I'm glad to see that you and others are out here today at the Code Pink Vigil.
Yeah, it's a pink crowd, isn't it?
Pretty pink crowd, all right.
Right across from the White House. Did you realize? In my fatigue, I didn't realize that we actually can see the White House. I knew we were meeting at the White House, but I didn't put it together that I was actually standing in front of the White House.
To be this close. Well, I'm hoping we'll do something to send some energy that way that will...
Some wake up. Some sanity.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Maybe some real caring as opposed to the phony baloney.
Right.
I just recently learned that the expression "leave no child behind," which is used by the Bush administration, was stolen from Marion Wright Edelman's "Save the Children."
I didn't know that.
And I saw a button. I don't have this button, but I saw a wonderful button not long ago, and it said, "The Bush administration says leave no child a dime."
Well, that's more the truth. The teachers I talk to are all up in arms because nothing good is happening for the kids or the schools because of that.
Yeah, it's just, it's very sad. There's no lack of things to be sad. So I decided that many of my buttons were going to be happy so that at least we can have peace and a little respite from the anger doesn't make things better. I spend a lot of my time angry, and it doesn't help.
I'm part of a group back in Portland called the Grays of Hope, and our idea is that we gotta talk about the hope because
right.
The anger does nothing.
Right.
You've
so
got
one
some.
Of them says like, this is from Jimi Hendrix. When the power of love overcomes love of power, we'll have peace. I think it's from Jimi Hendrix. That I also have. From Gandhi, we must be the change we wish to see in the world.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. And you've got some cute ones, too, like the storyteller cat teaching peace to her kittens.
Right,
and
yeah.
What are some of the other animal ones you got?
Well, the animals. I have a frog that is draped around a peace sign. A friend asked me for a frog, and she really wanted a frog meditating with a peace sign, but I couldn't figure out how to do that, so I just have a frog draped around a peace sign, and I have a crow. People ask me, you know, well, why do you have a turtle with a peace sign? Why do you have a crow with a peace sign? As if there has to be some great meaning to it. I just like to paint, and I like turtles, and I like crows, and if the design works, I use it.
Yeah, well, I especially love your turtle button.
Yeah, I had the good fortune of living with Native Americans for several years back in the 70s, so I think it's that connection. And there's certainly something to be said for slowing down.
Yes. Well, and the button, "I am not at war," I think is very important, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, a friend of mine who lives in New York and taught me how to do buttons, her name is Vicki Rovere, and she had that button, and I asked her if it was okay for me to use the idea, and she said, oh, yes, so I did.
Uh-huh.
But one of my buttons, well, I don't have it with me today, but I have a wonderful quote. I heard Eve Ensler speak last year, and she said, art has the ability to transform fear. Excuse me. And I don't have that button with me today, but it's a beautiful button. She's doing such good work. She actually said that, I mean, she was ready to give her life to making sure nuclear war doesn't happen. That uh-huh. She had gone through a period in her life where she really got what that means, and that we have to do everything to stop everything possible to stop it. So,
wow.
Yeah, violence does not end violence. Violence, hatred never ceases through hatred. Hatred ceases through love. And on my button, that is from the Buddha's teaching, but it's also from every great spiritual teacher. If they're speaking the truth, that's what they're saying. They're not saying, let's bomb in the name of Jesus. That's not where it is.
That's right. And that was another button I liked over here.
Oh.
Don't
abandon God to the Christian right.
Yeah. I think that's a good message.
Yeah. Well, some of the slogans I come up with are my own, but a lot of them are from going to a lot of talks and being inspired by a lot of really wonderful and courageous people who've been putting their lives on the line for this work.
How long would you say you've been involved in this work?
Well, the button-making business or the piecework?
The piecework.
And then the buttons.
There was a teacher strike when I was in high school, and I was involved with that, and then that went into the civil rights and Vietnam, and here we are again.
Here we are again, yep.
So now I have children coming with their parents to buy buttons from me, and I can remember when my parents were accompanying me to peace marches.
Thank you so much again.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Crystal.
Okay, that was Ruth Klein, the button booter, and I guess I didn't put her, she has a website, and she has great buttons, and I know there are great button makers here, too, in Portland, but she was a very interesting woman to talk to. And, you know, there was a lot of inspiration there, a lot of wonderful speakers. There were some Gold Star mothers. One in particular, I think her story moved us all to tears. She told about the loss of her son. And when she tried to get more information from the government about the details of how and when he died, she was put off, and she went to her congressman. She tried to get help. And she never did get the details, but she did get put on the no-fly list. And you can imagine how angry that made her. And she said a few things that when she learned that got her into even more trouble. Now, this is a gray-haired woman. This is a woman whose son died in Iraq. And, it affected me because I have a son, and he did spend a little time in the military, and gratefully he was able to get out before any more psychological damage was done to him, other than the kind of damage that all basic training people go through. But she made the sacrifice, and a grateful country has not treated her well. I should say a grateful government has not treated her well. There were other people. There were some Iraqi news women who were there and who talked, and they were also, some of them were here earlier in Portland, so that was another good connection. And there was a teacher from, I believe, Wisconsin. I might have it wrong, but she was fired, lost her job for speaking out for peace. There was also, though, on a lighter side, a lot of wonderful entertainers. There were some women called the Emma Goldmans, and I asked them to come to Portland when they could. They're going up to Vancouver, B.C., which I had to tell them was really not the Vancouver across the river from Portland, but they may make it here, and they were really good. So all in all, it was pretty wonderful. I'm going to end here with a surprise speaker that showed up at Code Pink and had some interesting things to say. And so we'll go out with the words of our surprise speaker. I think you'll recognize his voice. Well, maybe I'll just go ahead and say Dick Gregory showed up. And so here's what he had to say. That would be the last track.
I hope you understand how important you are. And don't let big government and big bombs lead you to believe that they're stronger than you. Show me a mother that is 9 months pregnant and ready to drop her baby now. They don't have any army with any arsenal that can cross her legs and keep that baby in her. Understand that. When 9 months pregnancy is over, the universe will drop that baby if it means death to the mother and the child. So we say to them folks across the street, them men, you don't know what power mothers have. As a black man that had a mother, and as a black man that's been married 47 years, No. Please. Love ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, I mean, when we first got married, if you ever leave me, I will hurt you. Hurt will keep a brother home for a long time. But But let me say this to you, and so you'll leave here, mothers, knowing how important you are. Only a mother can say what I'm fixing to say to you. Not a father, not a brother, not a sister. Only a mother can say to a child that falls and hurts itself, come over here and let mother kiss you where you hurt. Yeah. And that's what you're saying to the whole world today. Come over here and let me kiss you where you hurt. Thank you.
Yes. So that was my experience and some of the people I met when I was lucky enough to go to Washington, D.C. for Code Pink's Mother's Day Vigil. And you've been listening to Bread and Roses tonight. And I think we will go out with a song from the Great Peace March. Thank you for listening.
Stand up. Women, make your choice. Create a world without nuclear death. Now together we are strong. Break the nuclear chain. Building bridges between our divisions. I reach out for you, won't you reach out for me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions. I reach out for you, won't you reach out for me? I reach out for you, won't you reach out for me? Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. I reach out for you, won't you reach out for me? Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Sisters, we can make such a sweet harmony. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Women, make your choice. Create a world without nuclear death. Now